All right, good morning. Proverbs chapter 1. If the building don't tip over, we'll get through Sunday school. Everybody's on one side over here. Brother Ken must not have took a shower this morning. Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter number. I'm sure it's not Brother Ken's fault. Yeah. Don't leave taking me serious on that note. Proverbs chapter number 1. And we'll take this a couple of weeks. We'll go back to the book of Colossians, try to get through this. I was working on the book of Proverbs down in Georgia, and I think I got to chapter 17. Took a couple of years. So we'll try not to be as, well, I'm not going to try to be anything. Just go with the flow, amen? We'll get through it when we get through it. Proverbs. If the Lord comes back before we get through it, you'll know it all anyway. You'll know even as you're known. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll read. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and for your grace this morning. Pray that you would help us, be with us, bless these that have come out this morning. Lord, there's two things against us, Lord, COVID and also the weather outside, and people show up anyway. We thank you for your goodness and grace. We pray that you would put a hedge of protection around these that come, and Lord, bless them for coming, whether it be on a Sunday school, whether it be Wednesday night, whatever the case is, Sunday night, Lord, we pray that you bless folks that come out to your house in this day and time when even folks that profess to be Christians are no longer gathering together on Wednesdays or Sunday nights, even though you told us that we're to gather together more and more as we see the day approaching, not less and less. And we thank you for these that come out. And I pray that you'd bless the folks that come out. I believe we have the right to make that blessing. I pray, God, that you would honor that. Pray you'd forgive of me and forgive this congregation as they pray it of our sins. Wash us, watch for us, God, and protect us as we go about in this world. We'll thank you and praise you, Lord. And then if we do come out and about in the highways and hedges, if we come into your house, if we go out into this world and do the job that you sent us here to do, and we get some disease or whatever the case might be, come to church in the foul weather and have some kind of accident, God forbid, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to count these things as reasonable, God, for your service. And Lord, even though we could have that kind of attitude, we pray you'd protect us from it, help us not to have to go through anything like that, but Lord, we know that if we do go through hardships in this world, we can still rely on you, even in hardships, and we pray that you'd help us and guide us that way. Lord, now as we come into the book of Proverbs, I pray that you would help each one to hear as they ought to hear, help me to preach and to teach as I ought to, and Lord, it's a very difficult book for us men, and I pray that you would help us in it and guide us in it, Lord, give us wisdom and understanding. We'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us look privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof, which crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hands and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now, I don't generally read a whole chapter before preaching a sermon or teaching in a particular book, but I felt like doing that this morning. And the book of Proverbs is certainly a great book. It's a difficult book. It's one of the most convicting books that you'll ever see. Now, for you folks that don't like preachers that preach their convictions, you'd be hard-pressed to hang around Solomon very long, because these are Solomon's convictions, every single last one of them. And it's mainly to his children. Of course, you can see that right in the passage there. He's writing to his children. Of course, God used it for his greater glory. And now you and I get the opportunity to read his mail and find out what he thought about some things. God said that Solomon was the wisest man that there ever was. And that was in his day. And of course, the Lord added to that and said, I'm going to give you more wisdom than any man before you and any man that comes after you. So Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. The wisest man that ever lived. And so he has the book of Proverbs here. And I have a subtitle to Solomon's book, which I think you'll be able to understand very simply, which is How to Be a Person. That's the book of Proverbs. It's how to be a person, how to live, how to be a person, how to operate in this world that we live in, as bad as it may be. The book of Proverbs is how to be a person. Now, I'm very afraid that, especially in the modern sense, but this could go back for any time in history, I suppose, folks are born, they grow up, they mess up their own lives, no matter how good it might look from the outside. You know, you don't have to rob banks to be a bad person. Amen. People are bad in so many ways, and some of it's not even detectable by the normal average person. Now, most people think, you know, all these men, they're great men and good Christians and stuff, but ask their wife what she thinks. Amen. That'd be a good indication. You think a woman's a great godly woman. Now, I'm talking hypothetically. Don't go snooping. Hey, can you tell me some bad things about your husband? I'm not condoning that. Mind your own business and get right with yourself. I'm just saying we often estimate that people are a lot better than they are because we see them on their best behavior. But it's sad to say that a lot of folks have got saved and are trying to learn how to be a Christian, and they've never even learned how to be a person yet. That's true. That's why you get fellas, they get saved. 3 weeks later, they're called to preach. And 6 months later, they're pastoring a church. And they end up making a colossal mess of it because they don't know how to deal with their wife, or they don't know how to deal with their son. They don't know how to deal with any. And they're just a big spoiled brat baby, and the first thing that doesn't go their way, they quit because they don't know how to be a person. Amen. Amen. To be a person, you must have personality. And not a rude one, not a selfish one, not if you're going to be a preacher or going to be a missionary or a Sunday school teacher or something like that. You cannot make everybody conform to your own wishes. Amen. If they could, the right side would be full this morning. Amen. That's just the way that it is. I mean, if you could have everything the way, if you could have everybody be the way you wanted them to be, and you could have everybody have the convictions that you wanted them to have, the ministry would be easy. Amen. Amen. Alakazam, you're now a faithful church member. No, it doesn't work that way. It's not going to work that way. And so Solomon saw that, being the wisest man that there ever was. He said, my children are going to need some help to survive in this world. And if you've read the story of Solomon, he didn't do too well in that department. Amen. Solomon raised up folks that wasn't the very best. Amen. And so the same could be said for David, and the same could be said for almost any other great person in the Bible. You don't always see everybody having the best of, I say luck, tongue in cheek. I don't really believe in luck, but I think you understand what I mean when I say that the preachers, modern preachers, ancient prophets, they didn't always have the best of luck with their children. Well, Brother Mike, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Yeah, that's absolutely true. That works out 100% of the time. But you don't always have the best teachers. Amen. Amen. I keep trying to tell you this intelligence thing that everybody's so hung up on, especially in Bible-believing churches where intelligence, oh, he's so intelligent. Big deal. Intelligent just means you're able to be trained real good. If you're very intelligent, then we can get you in here and set you down, tell you some things, you'll absorb it, and oftentimes won't even do the research in it. Oh, that's true. Dr. Smoe said that. Boy, that must be true. No, forget that. It's the people that, highly intelligent people, sit down, listen to the news, believe everything they say on there, and then just go live their life like that's true or right. I mean, I really don't want to take the time to go through it, but the political agenda that's being pushed, no intelligent person would follow any political agenda, whether it's Republican or Democrat, because Washington politics doesn't work on your farm. It doesn't work in your factory. It's just, but if you're trained real good, oh, yeah, we got to support this movement. Yes, sir. We got to get on board with this California initiative. You don't even live in California. Amen. Amen. But at any rate, a man that has real smart, sit down, look at the situation, pray. I believe a person is considered smart if he prays. I heard that there's two politicians fighting amongst each other, and one of them says to them, of course they never say stuff face to face, they tweet at one another. Last week I tweeted. No, I don't tweet. I just kind of talk to folks. Anyway, they're tweeting at one another, and the one says to the other, he doesn't even believe in evolution. Well, see, that's where we're at. Nobody in our government believes in evolution. Not one of them. Your science teacher in the public school does not believe in evolution. There's still Richard Dawkins and all these guys, I think it's his name, Hawkins or Dawkins. His books are still saying survival of the fittest, natural selection. They're still saying that, even though they know it's idiotic. It's ridiculous. But they're still saying, okay, listen, if you believe in natural selection, if you believe this planet operates on the basis of evolution, and you believe that chaos conspires together to produce the very best genetically on this planet, whether it be life or trees or whatever else the case might be, then take off your stupid mask and go cough in one another's face until all the bad DNA is wiped out. Amen? That's what you believe. Survival of the fittest. What's all the mask about? What's all this social distancing about? You're interrupting Mother Nature. Amen. All this survival of the fittest stuff is the angriest. It's the angriest concept that's ever been invented. When you finally get around to where they're enforcing it just like they believe it, this will be the coldest, cruelest world you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Survival of the fittest. Natural selection. So natural selection dictates that this man shouldn't pass on his genetic code because it's inferior, so nature makes him a homosexual so that he doesn't reproduce. If I'm an evolutionist, that's exactly what I believe. Evolution says that that man started in a basic form and that it advanced. Now, the way they explain it, it's absolutely ridiculous, so we're not even going to spend the time on that, which we could if we needed to. If you're an evolutionist, here, come see me after church. We'll lay it out for you. But listen here, it started in this very primal state, and it rose to higher and higher and higher states. You know what they say? A separate group of these evolutionists teach. They teach that the earliest form of man was black. That's the most racist thing you've ever seen in your life. The evolutionists are saying when they say that black people are not, that black people are inferior. They are an earlier form of man. You Christian racist, no, it's not us that are racist. It's the science community. Thank you very much. Just open your ears and you'll hear exactly what they're saying. But you have to have some of these things that we're going to talk about in the book of Proverbs. You have to have them. One of them was mentioned in verse number 4, to give subtlety to the simple. Subtlety. That means if you're a real simple fella, keep your mouth shut. Subtlety, kind of operate down here somewhere. The Bible, it goes on and tells you plainly that a fool is known by a multitude of words. So if you're a fool, just talk and everybody will know. Amen. But this verse here, it says, a man of understanding shall attain, I'm in the wrong verse, verse 4. He says, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. That's one of the greatest words in the book of Proverbs right there, discretion. Discretion. That's the ability for you to make decisions on your own. Now, let me say that in the course of learning about some of this stuff, we'll find out no decision should be made on your own. Amen. You need counsel. The Word of God is great counsel. Preaching is great counsel. God gave pastors and teachers and evangelists for the edifying of the saints. Well, to build people up, you need counsel. You need counsel. But you also need to be in a situation where when you're one-on-one with the world or the flesh or the devil, you need to be able to make good decisions. Amen. So this puts children in the most dangerous situation that they could possibly be in. Your children, this is the adult Sunday school, so there's not many children in here, except for 40-year-old children and such. We'll allow for that. But your children do not know what they are talking about. Amen? When you sit down to have a conversation with your children and you're deeply enthralled by what they're saying, snap out of it. Because they do not know what they're talking about. Well, I'll give you the scripture for it in a minute, but I'd like to give you plenty of illustrations so that you understand. Let's suppose this is a $100 bill. Now, you watch TV all week, so I know that you can suppose. Brother Mike, it's hard for me to play along when it's just a white piece of paper with some scribbled notes on it. Well, it's not very hard for you to play along with all that other junk you go along with all week, so bear with me. $100 bill, who wants it for free? Yeah, you're all fools. So you're only looking at it from the front side with the pretty president's name on it. That's the only viewpoint you've got. Because you're young, you're immature, you haven't had enough days or experience to see it from the backside, in which case it's blank. You're not going to be able to spend a blank $100 bill. Now, man, it's 40, 50, maybe even 30, 35. Jesus started his ministry at 30. That's a good age. A man that's that old has lived to see the thing from multiple angles. He knows not to say, me! $300 bill, hey, I'm going to take a close look at it. But children make that kind of snap decisions every day. Somebody says, here's this wonderful time. Would you like it? Yes! Now, mama says, nope. You're trying to keep me from having fun. Amen. I've heard children that are 40 years old get up from behind the pulpit. These people are trying to put their convictions on. Yeah, because they're smart. They got sense. Amen. They've seen people wreck their lives time and time and time again doing that stupid stuff. Amen. But you're a kid. Even if you're 40, Amen. You have no discretion. You have no understanding. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching right there. And then what's worse than that is you get folks that just been saved or just made a wreck out of their life. They just got right with God. Praise God, right? They just got right. They just start, but then they'll go up. So they're bawling out a congregation that's been in church for 30 years. They know, just because you found out something doesn't mean you got a right to get up and bash the rest. These are God's people, whether they're sinful people. Yes, they are. They are sinful people. There's people in here that's got sinful problems, but you just crawled up out of the gutter. You got no right to get up and talk down to God's people. I'm glad that you got help. I'm glad that you got out of trouble. I'm glad that you got into church. I'm glad for all these things. Glad for all these things. But there's an order to the church. There's an arrangement to the, that's what dispensation means, order, arrangement. God set up a thing to be done in a particular way. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you this. Brother Mike says we shouldn't get up and... No, listen to me. Shh, shh, and listen. I've seen preachers time and time... I shouldn't say preachers. People that got the opportunity to preach, and because they just figured a thing out, get up and blast the rest of the congregation, open their mouth, and so the Bible says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. And when he's talking about keeping your foot... He immediately switches the verse of Scripture, and what he's telling you is to keep your mouth shut. He said it's better to just come in, keep your mouth shut, than to offer the sacrifice of fools. Hey, I'm going to tell you something I just found out. Well, I mean, okay, but the devil's going to use that to blast you. Amen? Well, look, I've seen this happen many times. Guy gets an opportunity to preach, gets up, berates the congregation. Nobody moves. Nobody says anything. Oh, well, you know, these people ain't right with God. These people are full of the devil. Listen, I've seen people do this. Listen, if you're going to pastor a church, get around your pulpit and pray. Get around the seats and pray. Ask God to help. Ask God to lead. Ask God to guide. I've invited young preachers in to preach. They get up and to preach. They couldn't preach. They could have taken steps in order to have been able to preach, but they couldn't preach. They get up and just spout off a bunch of junk and then heard them say, the devil was really fighting in here. No, it weren't the devil. It weren't the devil at all. You go off thinking, that whole church is backslid down there. I mean, if I couldn't get a crowd to move, they're obviously. I couldn't tell you how many people, of course, I was younger then, but I couldn't tell you how many people come in and preach, well, brethren, it's so wonderful to be here today. Oh, you all look lovely. Ain't God good? And just sputter through a 45-minute sermon like that. I just don't know what these people are. Brother, I think someone was lost here today. Well, I'm sorry, but when I preach, I scream, I holler, I run around, I pray. Listen, you pray over a sermon longer than you preach it. And when people are used to that, they're not gonna respond to somebody who's acting like they're calling a Jack Nicholson game. Or he's approaching the putt now. But what that is listen, you get up and nobody says amen. Maybe they're listening. But you say, what is that? That's discretion. That's the ability to look at a thing and say, maybe it's not that they're playing the Ouija board in their basement. But that's what inexperienced people in the Christian life expect. Well, these people didn't come to the altar. They must be playing the Ouija board. Am I telling the truth? Amen. Yes, sir. Maybe it's you. Amen. Maybe it's you. Your child comes to you this week, I just feel bad. Join the club. I don't feel like I'm appreciated. That's right, because we don't appreciate you. Right? That's sound child psychology right there. Do something productive this week and feel good about yourself. Have pleasure in that. Have joy in that. Amen. Don't raise a kid that's always, I just want to feel good. Will you make me feel good? Will you make me feel good? You're raising a weirdo. Amen. And you're raising somebody that will do anything in this world for acceptance. Anything. Anything. Listen to me. All this homosexual craze that's going on and more and more kids are coming out because people are telling kids that homosexuality is acceptable. Therefore, those that have been raised to be attention starved are saying, I think I'll be a homosexual. And after 5 or 6 years of that foolishness, I go, I'm not really. They're telling you about all the little kiddies that are claiming to be. They're not telling you about all the little kiddies that are saying, I was wrong about that. Amen. Because they were just seeking for attention in the first place. Amen. Listen, you take 30 kids, put them in a classroom, make a big deal of football players, the biggest percent of them will want to be football players. You take that same group of 30 and put them in a classroom, make a big deal out of the male cheerleader, and the majority of them will want to be male cheerleaders, whatever that is. Amen? Amen. If you're a male cheerleader, you ought to be hit by something very large in your face. Amen. That's just the way I feel about it. That's not a biblical conviction or anything. That's just the way I feel about it. But I was born this way. That's a good excuse now, right? I was born this way. Sissy people make me feel strange, make me feel weird. Amen. Cheerleading is sissy. That is, well, Brother Mike, this guy's pretty strong. He might can beat you up. Then I will have been beaten up by a sissy. I can deal with facts and truth, but that is sissy. That is sissy. It's sissy junk. Amen. How do you know that, Brother Mike? Because I got some discretion. I'm real good at making decisions. Amen. Well, not the best, but I've made a few good decisions in my life. Amen? My wife, speaking of that, my wife told me this. She goes, you're like a kept man. I'm like, what are you talking about? She said, you always want, not everything you want's expensive. I said, well, I chose you. End of conversation. I've got everything I wanted since that conversation. Pretty good. You buy all the, everything you want costs a lot of money. You only want the best stuff. Darling, I chose you. Ain't that smooth? Mm-hmm. I thought that's discretion. That's right, my brother. See what reading the Bible does for you? Gives you a nice, friendly atmosphere at home. Amen. Amen. So before you go right out and buy the next gun, chatter up, amen. Hair looks good today. Lay that on her for a couple days. All right, Tim? Can help all areas. I know somebody in here having marriage trouble. I help you with that. Amen. I do all my counseling from the pulpit. I don't like people good enough to be one-on-one kind of thing. Amen. How to be a person. And this is your first job. That's your first job in life, is to be a person. You say, Brother Mike, it's your first job to get saved. Well, you can't do that at 1 year old or 2 years old or 3 years old. And it's shaky ground when you're getting to 4 years old. Now, don't come to, Brother Mike, my kid got saved at 4. I must have been almost 5 years old when I got saved, but I believe I got saved. But I'll tell you this, when I got about 23, I made sure about that. Matter of fact, when I was 23, I made another profession of faith because I was backslidden as the devil. 2 Peter chapter 1 says you don't have charity, you don't have patience, you don't have godliness. He said you're blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. So I made another profession. Thank God, one of the first things that God showed me after that was 2 Peter chapter 1. I was able to see that God was faithful when I called on him the first time. But here's the thing about people under 20 years old. They don't know their left hand from the right. Well, my 19-year-old's doing pretty good. Well, God disagrees with you. I'll show you the verses in just a second. But God does not agree with you that your 19-year-old is a good, smart, well-rounded individual. Amen? Now, we don't have to fight about this. I'm certainly not going to die on this battlefield. But I believe that 20 years old is the age of accountability. I'll get some slack for that in a little bit. But God said that a person that's 20 years old and younger does not know the difference between good and evil. He knows attraction. She knows attraction. She knows if something's beneficial or not to her own well-being or to his own well-being. But they don't know much about good and evil. And mainly what they know is what people tell them or show them. Back to this thing about training up a child in the way he should go. Listen, they should read their Bible, right? Amen. They should come to church, right? Amen. They should clean up their room. I'm pretty sure that's right. As I've grown older, I've never been able to put as much emphasis on that as my mother did growing up. But just for the sake of the argument, clean up the room, helping their brother or their sister do their work, whatever. All this stuff is good. Well, let's stick with the Christian training part, reading the Bible and praying, coming to Sunday school. All that stuff is good, right? You're training them to do that, right? But you're also training them to cuss during the week. But it's only when you get real mad. You train them to talk bad about the preacher on the way home. They're not going to get over that, by the way. In Georgia, we had a family that come to church. They had two little girls and a boy, and they loved Brother Mike. They loved me, and they let me know every week. And then one day I suggested that we should have one of the ladies teach the girls and one of the men teach the boys and get the girls and the boys out from the same classroom so that they could focus a little bit and get just a little bit different than, and get rid of the Sunday school material that they were secretly teaching back there, even though the pastor done said not to do that. But at any rate, so from that day forward, Brother Mike don't know what he's talking about. Brother Mike don't know what he's talking about. Brother Mike's bad for this church. Brother Mike going to break. We've always done it this way. Brother Mike. And in a couple years, those kids were out messing up on a regular basis. I would say one of them stuck pretty good, but she also got saved. It helps when people get saved to be good Christians, amen. But at any rate, those kids got so bad, and then, hey, Brother Mike, do you think you could talk to them? No, I don't think I could talk to them because you've already trained them that I don't know what I'm talking about. If they thought I knew what I was talking about, they would have come talk to me before now. So what did you do? I tried to talk to them. What happened? They didn't listen. Why? Because they were trained. Mom and Daddy didn't look them in the face and say, Brother Mike don't know. But just casual ride home. It's kind of silly, ain't it? So those kids were trained. They're trained. I raised them as a good Baptist. I don't know why she married a Catholic, because you trained them to. You trained them to. I don't know why. I mean, I think I'm a good man, but my daughter's putting these bad pictures of herself up on Facebook. You trained her to do that. Amen. You trained her to do that. Yes, sir. Well, we gave her a Bible. Amen. Well, we should stop right there, man. That hit home right there, didn't it? Because it's truth. It's truth. Let's look at a few of these. Exodus chapter 30. You need to listen. Solomon's writing this book to his sons because he knows that their sons is going to pick up on everything bad and not much good. And when you're training your children, you need to realize that while you're training your children is not the best receptacle of knowledge and wisdom. They're not going to pick up on a lot of the good because they're sinful human beings. And they're going to pick up on a lot of the bad. Because the bad, no matter what, doesn't have to be necessarily lewdness or wickedness, but the bad sticks a whole lot better to a fleshly person than it does otherwise. At least better than good things do. You ask your kids, just give them the choice. You want to watch TV or you want to read the Bible? Well, I'll read the Bible for 5 minutes before I... Yeah, that's the kind of decision they'll make. Would you rather go to the beach or clean the kitchen? Well, let me ask you parents, would you rather clean the kitchen or go to the beach? Nobody offered up their answers. But at any rate, because we know what the answer is. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 12. When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, when you're numbering the people. You ever thought about the fact God killed all those people after David numbered them because they didn't offer any sacrifices after? You say, what? You're supposed to. That's what this passage is about. Then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul. When it go through and count. I wonder if they do that when they're counting for Sunday school. I wonder if every time that, God, thank you for this person. Thank you for that person. No, they're just rushing to put the numbers up there so that they can report back to the, you know, sword of the Lord. We had 500 people in church this morning. Well, God might kill some of them this week. When you number the children of Israel, there's supposed to be some kind of acknowledgement that God allowed them to be there. That's what this is all about. But let's read it instead of me just telling you. When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. Go through and number them all. Look at this great nation we've got. God will kill a couple hundred thousand of them. Amen. Oh, look at all these people that come hear me preach on Sunday morning. God might take some of them away if you don't be humble and thank God for them. It's the gospel ministry is supposed to put people in the, I started to say people's backside, but I shouldn't probably say that in church, put people in the seats. The ministry does that. Not your, listen, if you're dynamic, you're the best preacher that ever was, and you do things right, you'll get increase from the Lord. If you're the most boring person in the world and you do things the way God tells you to do, God's still going to honor it. No, your personality doesn't weigh that much into the gospel ministry. You do things right. You do it right. You do things right. You do things right. God honors that. Be obedient. How do I do things right, Brother Mike? Be obedient to what the scripture tells you to do. That'll be right and God will honor it. So he says, verse 13, this they shall give everyone that passeth among them that are numbered half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs, and half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. Don't even count the ones under 20 years old. You say, why? Because God don't count them, 20 years old and under. Numbers chapter number 1. Numbers 1. Numbers chapter 1. Well, Brother Mike, I just think, well, I'll just keep reading. You keep thinking. We'll see who comes out on top. Amen. Numbers chapter 1. Verse number 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families by the house of their fathers with every number of their names, every male by their poles, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. God says, 20 years old and up can go to war. That's what God says. God says that. The United States Army will probably take you at 18, maybe even at 17 in some cases. But God said, got to be 20. Because somebody under 20 don't know anything. We'll see again. Numbers chapter 32. Guess God's right about things. Numbers chapter 32 and verse number 11. Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. 20 years old and up, God held them accountable right there. Numbers chapter 14, back to 14 and verse 29. Numbers 14. Verse 28. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord. I heard that passage this week as I was coming through the book of Numbers. As truly as I live. That's a certainty. I thought about that saying for just a little bit. Man, the Lord is serious. Just as, I guess people still say that, and sure as I'm standing here, that's old. Appalachian, not Lation, Appalachian, invitation, that's a T in there. Chattahoochee, that's an Indian word. Appalachian, that's an Indian word. All the CHs are chus. Amen. I just thought I'd set that record straight. That bothers me so bad. Anyway, let's get on with this. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Now, you think those little children weren't murmuring right along with their mothers? Yeah. If you've gotten an argument with me, like right out here in public, I mean, I'm not talking about the behind-my-back stuff that some folks do already. I'm talking about the face-to-face stuff. If you've gotten an argument with me, I guarantee you that my little boy, Reese, being in the neighborhood of 7 years old, would get right in on my side. He'd be on my team. I think that's a safe assumption. Probably one or two of my girls might get on my side as well. Maybe even Ruth. Depending on how much money I spent last week, amen? But I think it's safe to say that some of these kids were out there beside their mamas and daddies going, yeah, throw stones at him. We had T-bone steak, which they probably didn't, but down in Egypt we had it good. I'd imagine. Did God hold it against them? Nope. Nope. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. What's the point of seeing all these verses and talking about what a person 20 years old and under? Listen, if 20 years old and under really don't have that much accountability, but they do have a sponge-like mentality, how important is it for you to give them more and more and more good stuff if they're so prone to pick up on the bad stuff, but they don't even know the difference between good and evil? How likely are they to choose the evil over the good if it feels better? So it's even more important for you to put more Bible, put more prayer, restrict what they watch on TV. If you can find something that's decent enough to watch, by all means, let them watch it. But if it's blatantly, I mean, even if it's not blatantly, you got to look for the subliminal stuff, the stuff that they're sliding in there that's not very perceptible, because the human mind picks up more than you think it does. Be careful. They don't know what they're doing. Your children do not know what they're doing, and they're going to choose the bad over the good most likely because it feels better to the flesh. So the conclusion of the matter is you have to be very, very, very diligent. And let me say this. Take another adult's side. Now listen. If my kid comes to me that guy's smacking me upside the head in Sunday school, we're going to have a problem. But if my kid comes to me and says, that Sunday school teacher's always getting on to me, well, there's probably a reason for that. I'm not going to say, oh, honey, you sweet little boy, I'll take you out of that Sunday school class. I'm probably going to send him back to the Sunday school class with an apology for Mr. So-and-so. But if you smacked him, turn Ruth loose on you. Amen. You don't know. Where was I going? Deuteronomy chapter 1. Let's look here. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 38. But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil. Which children is he talking about? The ones 20 years and under. The 20 years and over died in the wilderness. The 20 years and under, at the day that the spies brought back their evil report and said, we can't take it. 20 years old and under, that day, they got to go in. And God calls them, listen, this is your 19-year-old. Your little ones, which he said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil. That's what God says about it. But Brother Mike, I think, and psychology says, so, psychology 101 is down the hall. This is the Bible class where Bible believers go to listen to Bible things. CNN doesn't agree with this. MSNBC doesn't agree with this. Wilmington University doesn't agree with this. The public high school doesn't agree with this, but I agree with this. Well, my preacher said my little kid could get saved. I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying he's an idiot. He's a saved idiot. Washed in the blood. Idiot. Well, my kid's saved and I trust him. You're an idiot. Amen. That's true. And you'll be lucky if they're not still idiots when they're 35. Am I right or wrong about it? Okay, I don't know what you're arguing about then. Verse 39, moreover, your little ones, which you said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge. God said they had no knowledge between good and evil. They shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. Well, just think about it. What did they do with it once they got in? They messed up on a daily basis. They messed it up as 21-year-olds or 25-year-olds. I suppose they could be about 40 years old when they went in. Just do the math. 20 and under, they stayed for 40 years. 60 years old, if that's the case. I don't know. But whatever the case is, they're still idiots after they got in. The Lord said they were idiots before they went in. I don't like the word idiot, Brother Mike. Well, probably offensive to you, I understand. But I'd be the first one to admit I've done some idiotic, stupid things in the last couple of weeks. I'm saved. I believe God. Those are my two greatest attributes. I'm saved and I believe God. But as a decision maker, I'm not that good. I mean, I know how to make good decisions. I know what the right decisions are. I've been reading the Bible since I was 5. I just can't figure out how to make them. How to actually go through with them. I couldn't tell you how many times I've said, I'm going to save money. Got some wrappers. They get real mad at the dry cleaners if you don't take these out of your pocket. The lady fussed at me. Of course, she did it through my wife. Wonder what makes people fuss at people through a secondary medium. Why don't people fuss at one another face to face? I don't know. That's just, oh, we'll stop right there. That is a secondary issue that I'd like to take up someday. Fussing at people face to face. It takes discretion and good sense to do stuff like that. Anyway. Do you see what I'm trying to get across to you, though? Children do not know their left hand from their right. If you can train them to trust the Lord, remember now that Creator. That's the greatest charge, one of the greatest charges to children in the Bible. Remember now that Creator in the days of thy youth. The Lord doesn't lay a whole lot on young people. He doesn't. The Lord called out to Samuel. The Bible said Samuel didn't know the Lord. He works in the church. Don't you think he saw what was going on a daily basis? I mean, the woman brought him there after he was weaned. He had been there his whole life, but he didn't know God until he heard God's voice. You're going to have to do a whole lot of God's business in the lives of your children until God speaks to them. Amen. And they're going to choose the bad 9 times out of 10. Well, it might not be that bad. It might not, but I'm going to give it those odds because the potential is there. The potential is there for 10 out of 10, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Man, your kids are the most important things that you have. They're more important than your job. They're more important than your house. They're more important than your cars. They're just about as important as your guns. Guns are pretty important. No, I'm just joking about it. They're more important than your guns, although keep them oiled. I got to throw in the word for guns, amen? If the news media is against them, I'm for them. So I just throw a little word in there for guns. But those kids, they're the most important things you got. They're more important than your friends. Oh, I can preach a whole nother hour on this subject here. They're far more important than your friends. Well, I would spend a little time with you, but I'm going to go hang out this week. But No. Here's an idea. Go out this weekend. Take your kids with you. I told you the other day that I got to take one more minute to say this. I told you several weeks back I uploaded TikTok. You know what one of the major things that I saw on TikTok that was wicked? These parents that were saying how bad it was to teach their kids at home. They couldn't wait for the schools to open back up so they could get rid of their kids. I'm not a violent man. I'm not. I don't want to do violence to anybody. It's not my wish. But a parent like that needs somebody to black both of their eyeballs. That's your kid. That kid is a dollar sign to the public school. That's right. And that's all they are. If they didn't have their name in the roll book, most of those teachers wouldn't even know who the kids are. And I don't care what. Oh, I love my kids. Not more than me. And if you're a teacher that believes in evolution, you're an idiot. Amen. You don't need to be teaching kids no way. Amen. Amen? Amen? Nobody that believes in evolution has any business teaching any kids anything. Amen. And while we're on the subject, a school shouldn't teach anything but reading, writing, and arithmetic. The kids don't need sense education. They don't need any of that junk. They certainly don't need social studies. Reading, writing, teach them how to add 2 plus 2. Give them a little history of their country, the real history of the country. Ooh, Lord, help me. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd forgive us of our sins. Lord, I pray you'd help us to take this serious. Lord, even if you could take today, what's been said today, and Lord, put an interest in the heart of these adults about getting some real wisdom. Maybe they won't absorb it all. But Lord, get some real wisdom into their kids' head. Give them some real perspective, something that you can't get out of a video game or the news or a television program. You get no real perspective. All you get from even the best of TV shows is bias one way or the other. Lord, I pray you'd help us to get in the Word of God, to teach our children, to take time with our children, to be nicer to our children than the world is being to our children. Lord, we have to discipline our children, but help us, God, to associate with our children so that our children don't think they're being ruled by a bunch of robots and hard-hearted fools. God, help us to see the real value of our own children, to see the real value of our children in the future of our church, the future of our homes. Lord, any value that I have when I die is going to be invested in my children. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to put them right and first, and Lord, and of course, that's in accordance with you and your plans, but Lord, I pray that you'd help me to realize that this is the most important asset and the very biggest investment that I'll ever make in this world is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the children that I leave behind me when I'm gone. Help me in these things, oh God, and I'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray it. Amen. Amen. All right. Take a little break.